Welcome to the Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist, and confession time, I tend to kill all my plants. So I can tell you what to eat, but I can't tell you how to keep plants alive. So welcome to episode 23 of the Gut Goddess Show, and this week I'm going to be sharing with you the four things that I think you should be eating more of. So this week, this episode is all about what to eat more of. You heard me correctly, what to eat more of. And this is a really, really key philosophy that I use throughout my nutrition practice, with everyone in my community and membership. Everything that I do when it comes to food is primarily focusing on this approach of actually what to eat more of. So I'm hoping this episode is going to be a bit of a light bulb moment for many of you, because I know for so many people that we tend to focus on what to remove, what to get rid of, what to stop eating. We beat ourselves up about the things we have eaten instead of, you know, what the things we shouldn't have eaten instead of the amazing things we have eaten. So I have a really simple system that I use in all of my programs, my membership, my online programs, and with my one-to-one. And that's the fabulous fat burning four. So I'm going to be sharing with you these four foods. I call them the fabulous fat burning four. They're not just for if you want to burn fat. I just call them that because I like alliteration. It's literally, when you run your own business, you can literally just call things what you want to call them because you think it sounds good. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And part of what I'm going to be sharing with you of these four foods I want you to eat more of, and this philosophy of eating more, is really a part of my belly love methodology. So I did an episode on that a couple of weeks ago. I think that was episode 20, where I went through the belly love methodology. But I am running the Belly Love Workshop, which is a free online training that I would love to invite you to. It's on the 25th of July, and then I will also be repeating it on another date. So I'll be doing like an encore one of that. So if you want to sign up, if you want to join me for the Belly Love Workshop, where I'm going to be going through the four-part roadmap really for you to create an effortlessly healthy life, to sort out your belly, and to feel really good in the skin that you're in, then make sure you head to either the link in this that'll be in the show notes of this blog, or head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/belly love. Or if you're on Facebook or you are on Instagram, if you head to the links in my profiles, or you'll see information about that there. So make sure you sign up to the workshop. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, they're really fun. If you like this podcast, then chances are you're going to like hanging out with me live online. It's a chance where I can answer your questions. We have a lot of fun, and I really, really love doing these online training workshops. So I'm trying to cram as many in as I can live before this baby comes. So make sure you join me for the Belly Love Workshop. I'm going to be sharing with you the four-part roadmap that you need. And these are things that we don't get taught about. Most women are just obsessed about what to eat or what not to eat and how much to exercise. And actually, a lot of the stuff that's part of this roadmap is stuff that you've probably never heard about before or never heard kind of put concisely together. And in this workshop, I'm sharing with you the simple action steps you can do to see some real results. And I'll also be doing some live giveaways for people in the workshop as well, which is always super, super fun. So do make sure you join me for that if you can make it. I was going to say, even if you can't make it, I will be doing a replay, and I will be doing an encore kind of workshop as well at another time, probably on the 30th, Monday evening on the 30th. For those of you that can't make it, just because I want to get this training and education out there as much as humanly possible. So join me in the workshop, numero uno. Otherwise, other life updates. I'm trying to think of what they are. Other than I'm just, throughout this pregnancy so far, I've really not had a sweet tooth that much. Probably the opposite for the first like 5 months, not really being that bothered. But I have to say, last probably 2 weeks, it's just all been all about the cake and cookies. So I'm currently navigating that, where it's just all about the sweet things. I think something must have shifted. I'll do a bit of research in terms of my blood sugar or something. So that's, you know, a really exciting life update for you. But on the plus side, it comes at perfect timing because I'm in the process of creating a bit of a cake ebook for you guys. So last night I was testing out what will be a lemon and elderberry cake. Was pretty awesome, I have to say. So if you have a specific cake that you want to see a Kezia version of, a healthier version of, that's decadent, that's gluten-free, that doesn't have loads of refined sugar, that is something that you could whip out for maybe a wedding or a birthday or all of that sort of stuff, or hen do or Mother's Day, then let me know what your favorite cake recipe is. And also thank you for all the reviews. As you guys know, I love getting reviews. Because it's really helpful from a pretty practical side in terms of getting new people and new eyes on this podcast. And the more that, the more reviews that I have, then the more I can use that to help me get really awesome guests on the show, which I'm always trying to do. Plus, it's a really nice way to hear from you and to know what you like, what you want to know more of. Because this podcast is something that I do every week, and I'm really passionate about it. I love doing it. I do it to help inspire and educate you so you can live your best and most healthiest life. But it does cost me time and money to run it and to deliver it to you guys and to prepare for it all. So leaving a review is just a really nice way of saying thanks, Kezia. Cheers. And I just love to hear from you. So we had a review recently from Mrs. Mole, who said, I've been listening to podcasts regularly for a while, as so much of what Kezia talks about resonates with me. I've been following her tips and feel so much better in myself. My mindset is slowly changing for better as regards to food and weight issues, and I look forward to her podcast every week. Thank you, Kezia. Thank you, Mrs. Mole. That's so nice. I love it. So, so lovely. So that is all my updates and things I want to share with you. So let's dive on in and talk about what are the things I want you to eat more of. So this episode, I'm going to get super nitty gritty. We're going to talk about specific foods, what foods, how much did you eat, what do I mean to eat more of, how do you know if you're eating too much, all of that sort of stuff. So we're going to get down to some of the practical stuff, because if you've listened to the show or are in the supernaturally healthy world, then you'll know I'm quite a practical person. I like getting down to business. It's probably not the right phrase. But evidently I'm knocked up and pregnant, so the other half of that is also true. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about today. And before I wildly digress and make this episode about sex instead of food, I'll bring us back on track. But this is going to be some really practical, so you might want to take notes. But before we dive into some of those practicalities, I want to share with you the kind of overarching message, philosophy, vision of this. And it's really simple, but if you can shift your mindset and your focus to this, then you will see a huge impact when it comes to you making food choices that are healthy and it feeling easy. Because the thing that often will sabotage us the most when it comes to making consistent, healthy food choices that we know our body's going to love and we know do us good is that we find it hard to make those choices. We want to eat the fish and chips instead of the homemade lasagna or whatever it is. And so if you can embed this kind of philosophy and shift your mindset and shift your focus, actually you can see huge results. And I know that to be true in my own life and in everyone in my membership community, Nourish, people that have done my programs, the feedback I get, the clients I work with each week, this can have a big, big difference. And this, it's the philosophy and the mindset shift of eating more and of really abundance. It's really about focusing and changing your focus from this sort of poverty mentality of what I shouldn't have, what I can't have, what I'm not allowed, what I shouldn't be eating, all of this kind of negative language, all the shoulds, all the not allowed, all the can't haves, all the things, all the negative things that a lot of the time when someone's looking to make a change in their health and specifically around their eating, they'll often focus solely on what not to eat, what they shouldn't have anymore. And it's a really, really toxic cycle because what we focus on grows. So just like, you know, if I say to you, don't look at that man in the corner, you're really going to want to look at that man. Because that is what I've told you to focus on, even though I put, even though I phrased it as a negative. And so it's really, really important that we shift our focus when it comes to making changes in the way that we're eating to a place and a foundation of abundance. And I know for some of you listening, we'll all be like, all about the abundance. You're like, yeah, Kez, yeah, I don't want no poverty mindset. And you're already on that track. And other people are like, abundance? Like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, Kezia, this is food we're talking about. What on earth is this weird word abundance have to do with it? But stick with me because it makes a lot of sense. And what I'm meaning by abundance is really, it's the approach that we have to many things in our lives. And we always have a choice. Everything in our, every thought kind of thing that we meditate on in our minds and within our own bodies is something we have control over and is a choice. We can't control other people, alas. We can't control things that happen in the world. We can't control our circumstances. You know, stuff will happen that is we just never planned for, we never saw coming. But what we can do and what we always have a choice about is our own thoughts and our own approach, our own kind of, we always have a choice about what kind of glasses we want to see the world through. What are the sunglasses we're peering through? And when it comes to food, if you can learn to take off the negative, self-destructive, can't, not allowed sunglasses and choose to put on abundance sunglasses when you're looking at the food, your food choices in front of you, then A, you're just going to enjoy life a lot more. And B, your actual food choices and healthy food choices will come a lot easier and more naturally to you. So that's the bigger picture of what we are talking about. And I know for me growing up in a kind of a traditional dieting mentality. So I started my first diet when I was 11. When I joined Slimming World with my mum, because I was quite overweight, even at that point. And that was a lot of that focus and foundation, or what I took from that, or what I learned at that stage. It's maybe not the you know, whatever, the diet's fault, the company's fault. What I took from that was about all the things I shouldn't have, all the things I shouldn't eat too much of, what I can't have, what I can't do, what I'm not allowed and what I am allowed. That was kind of how it worked because you tracked your sins and things you were allowed and not allowed and all that was just the language around it. And so it's taken me a good couple of years to shift my mindset and actually look at food from this approach of abundance. And it makes a really, really big difference. So that's the over, that's why we want to talk about this. It's if you can change the focus of your eating choices so that you can set yourself up for success, then it'll make a huge difference on your health and your body. So, what are these foods that I want you to eat more of? Well, I call them the fabulous fat burning four because it just sounds good, doesn't it? It's a nice little, it has a nice little ring to it. And they're what I talk to my clients about, what I talked about in Nourish in my upcoming Flourish Academy, which is a 4-week program that's going to be coming to you next week, FYI. So if you are not on my email list, make sure that you join it, because there's going to be some awesome early bird offers, FYI. And the fabulous fat burning four are fiber, fat, protein, and veggies. So those are the four foods that I have found through working with women throughout the years, through research, through just understanding my community and my own body, that most women could do with eating more of. Now, it's not to say that carbohydrates are bad. I'm not going to talk more about that, but I'm just saying we don't often need encouragement to eat more of carbohydrates. We often need encouragement to eat more of the fabulous fat burning four. And so these foods, I'm going to go into what they are and what that might look like in terms of switching up your eating. But in terms of why these foods in specifically, I want to explain a little bit of that. And just so you know, I'm not like just plucked these foods out of my ass and I'm like, well, I just decided that people should eat these things because it sounded like a nice idea. No, there's after years of working with people and research and all of that sort of stuff, I found definite threads from looking at different pieces of research. And when it comes to women, which is mainly who I work with, often with women, there can be hormonal imbalances. There's often this dieting, restriction, deprivation mentality that can lead to metabolic issues. And often there's a lot of blood sugar irregularities. Now, that's not just with women. That also happens with guys as well. But these were the common things that were coming up that I could almost predict with my clients and my members that they were going to be struggling with, and that were sort of potentially at the root of some of their ongoing symptoms. And so we know from some of the research that I've done, and I'm by no means, you know, I'm not saying I've done all the research in the world. There's lots of research out there. But from the research that I've looked at and the assignments that I've done and papers that I've read, these kind of foods in different aspects kept coming up. So we know that increasing our fiber is really, really protective and really can help prevent certain cancers, which is great. No one wants to end up with cancer, especially things like colon cancer and all of that sort of stuff. Also, we know fiber is one of the ways that the body will transport and help to remove toxins from the body. So it's great for supporting things like constipation and hormonal balance and liver support. We also know fiber from different research. Often a lot of types of fibers are prebiotics, meaning that they help to establish a healthy bacterial ecosystem in our guts. So they are really, really important. If you want to have a nice, healthy gut with lots of bacteria in, and maybe you take probiotics or you have fermented foods or you're aware of this, then actually, if you're not getting enough fiber, you might not be getting the kind of the structure or the foundations that you need to really establish this healthy bacterial ecosystem, which again, we know from research is essential for so many things. It's important for your mental health. It helps prevent future disease. It's important for your immune system, for your hormones, for your mood, for your energy, for your fertility, for so many things. So many things. So also we know things from like protein. When it comes to protein, a lot of the time people aren't maybe necessarily eating a lot enough of it. And when it comes to weight loss or to or dietary recommendations for people with type 2 diabetes, protein and often fats are recommended to be increased in one's diet. So we know that's why that's in there. Things like vegetables. I mean, there's loads of research. No one really disagrees that, like, in the world of nutritional science, there's lots of disagreement and you know, contradictions if you read certain papers. But rarely does anyone, I've not read a paper where someone disagrees that vegetables are good for you because they contain fiber, vitamins, minerals. We know that people that eat higher vegetable diets tend to have longer longevity. Sorry, just gotta love my words. It impacts lots of aspects of their lives. You know, when you look at people that live over 100 in the blue zone research that was done, lots of them included a nice variety of veggies, all of that stuff. So all of this to say, these are foods that are tasty because eating fat is tasty and often a healthy protein is tasty and fruits and vegetables are tasty. And fiber, I mean, to be fair, if you were just eating fiber on its own, it's not overly delightful. Like if you're just crunching on linseeds all day and that's the only food you're eating, it's not great. But if you smother it in fat, then it's awesome. So I'm not going to lie and be like, I love crunching on linseeds. I don't do that. But I hide them in all my other food that tastes awesome. So that is why we want to eat more of those foods. And also from research as well, they can help people lose weight. Eating more of these foods, we know from research, depending, obviously, everyone's body and metabolism is slightly different, but in general, these four foods can really help you burn any excess fat. Hence the name, the fabulous fat burning four. But even if you're not looking to lose weight, if you're looking to put on weight, actually, because I know for some people that's an issue with who I work with, actually, we're deliberately trying to help them to gain weight. Same, actually similar principles. You want to be eating more of these foods because they help the body to heal. And when the body is healed, it'll actually self-regulate its weight. So the principles that I work on, it's not that, you know, these foods, you don't eat these foods primarily just to lose weight. You want to eat these foods to really help your body find balance. And when your body is feeling calmer, safer, more balanced, when it's optimized in its functioning, then your body will find its ideal weight. And so if you need to put on weight, you'll put on weight. If you need to lose weight, you'll lose weight. Now, there can be a couple of little tweaks in there depending on, in, you know, a person's individual biochemistry. You know, we are all different, but it's still similar principles. So let's look at them one by one. Let's look first at fat. Yep, because that's the one people tend to have a problem with. It's fat. That's the biggest thing to overcome often when people get into it is they just have so much junk around fat. And so what I'm talking about fat is healthy fats. I've talked about this before. So on the podcast I did with Amy, which is, I'm just trying to look now which one we did. I can't remember. I'll put it in the show notes. But I've talked about fats in several of the episodes. In terms of eating healthy fats. So healthy fats, things like olive oil, avocado oil, coconut products. So that might be desiccated coconut cream, might be coconut milk, eggs. Your egg yolk is a great source of fat, not so much egg whites. You have some fats from dairy products if you can tolerate them, although most people can't tolerate dairy products, to be honest. You have things from nuts, seeds, fish. Meats all contain healthy fats. And so fats are really, really important because your hormones get made from fats, your brain primarily made of fat, your cell membranes, meaning every single cell in the body, is kind of the structure of every cell. Most cells have a cell membrane, which is a cell wall. That is also made up of fats. All of the essential things, when you start looking into the body, you discover, we're made up of lots of fat. There's just a lot of fat going on. Our bodies are all about the fat. And this is before I even get on to kind of, you know, our body fat. So what might be excess fat or visceral fat or all of that sort of stuff. So we need fats and we need healthy fats that have been unprocessed. Not Frankenstein fats, as I call them, that are things like hydrogenated, mutated oils and processed foods that are a disaster for your health and for your heart. Any processed hydrogenated fats that often come from vegetable oils, really horrendous for your body. Those are the ones you want to ignore. But your good quality natural fats, like the fat that you just get in and flip an avocado or an egg, really great for your body. So most people come to fats and have an issue with it often because we've sort of been fed a lie for the last 50 years, because it was roughly in, I think it was late 50s, there was a tiny study done on something like 9 participants with really dodgy analysis and really dodgy data collecting that was then basically turned into kind of public policy, which is why most of us grew up and have grown up being told that low-fat diets are the best. Now, in some certain cases and in some individuals, eating a lower-fat diet can be the best option, but it's actually quite a small proportion of people, and that's a lot to do with genetics and certain pathways in the body. But for most people, we don't need to follow a low-fat diet. In fact, it's much better to enjoy healthy amounts of fat. And we know now from research that things like myths like eating saturated fat will give you heart disease, clog up your arteries, give you a stroke, there is actually no evidence for that. There's not there. There was a great meta-analysis done, I think in 2015, which looked at all of the quality research around this issue and just found there's just no correlation, actually. So a lot of the time they'll struggle with fat. We often come to this with fat phobia. So I really encourage people just to start small. If you, like me, have grown up eating Muller Lights, skimmed milk, only using half a teaspoon of olive oil on your salad, never eating avocados and avoiding nuts like the plague because they're so high in calories, sins, points, whatever it is that you're tracking, then start small. You don't have to suddenly eat loads of fat overnight. I would just encourage you to, and I often will get clients to do this if they're a bit nervous, just adding a small portion into their day, because a lot of the time we as women are scared that if we start eating fats, we're going to get fat and become the size of a house. And that's a legitimate fear. That's okay. It's okay to feel that. It's okay to have that emotion. And so you can start small. So fats, ideally you want to be having some form of healthy fat with every meal. That's roughly how it works out. So for example, I have just had lunch, and so I had some eggs with that, and I left the egg yolk uncooked. So it was like a fried egg in this vegetable hash thing. And so I was getting some fat from the eggs. And then I also added some goat cheese to that, just sprinkled that on top. And that was my fat with those meals. For breakfast, I had porridge, and so I added fat in the form of some added coconut cream and also in the form of chia seeds, because they have some omega-3 fatty acids in there as well. So this doesn't mean you have to suddenly start only eating fats or eating like handfuls of butter each day. Just start by making sure there's little components of fat to your meals, and you can play around with that. So you don't need to be afraid of fats. Fat phobia doesn't need to be a part of your life. In fact, I highly recommend you fall in love with fats and butter and olive oil and avocados and some seeds, all of that sort of good stuff. So that's fat. Now let's look at protein, because we do need to look at protein, because you might hear me say protein and automatically think, I need to go and get a protein shake. I need to have my protein shakes every day. Or you might suddenly be like, right, I need to eat loads of chicken breasts, you know, like grilled chicken breast, which is, just a chicken breast is like the worst cut of a chicken. I'm just putting it out there in terms of flavor, and it's just dry. And anyway, you can tell I'm not a big fan of the chicken breast. Sorry, chickens. So when it comes to protein, this does not mean you need to start, you know, buying loads of protein powders and making sure you're having like 5 million chicken breasts a day that some people will do, or unfortunately some ill-advised personal trainers will tell you, even though they really shouldn't be giving out nutrition advice, they just seem to tell everyone to like eat more protein, which anyway, I'll not go there. So what you want with protein, again, is just to make sure that you're having regular amounts and good amounts of healthy protein and really thinking about healthy protein being a foundation for your meal. Now, again, everyone is slightly different on this, but what you want to think of is most, I like to think of it like this. In the UK and in general Western culture, our food, the way that we form our meals, often goes something like this. So if you imagine a plate in front of you, often at the foundation of that plate or that bowl will be some sort of carbohydrate, be it rice, pasta, couscous, noodles, bread, potato. That will be the foundation. That will be the base of the meal. Then what people will do is often add a little bit of protein. So they might add a spoonful of bolognese. They might add a spoonful of like chickpea curry into the middle of that bowl or into the middle of that rice, for example. Then they might add onto the side some vegetables. So they might add on a couple of florets of broccoli or some, I don't know, boiled carrots or something along those lines. So what we want to do is when I'm talking about these foods and when I'm talking about protein is you want to flip this script a little bit. Actually, what we want to do is we want an abundance of protein on your plate and a good amount, not just like a little kind of splodge in the middle. So for the example of, say, a bolognese, you want good amounts of that lentil or beef bolognese on your plate. Then you also want a really good amount of the vegetables. You don't just want them to be like an afterthought. You want them to be at the foundation of your meals. Then that's when you add in the rice or the pasta or the bread or whatever it is. So it's like, if you think about it from a sandwich point of view, you know, often you have a huge hunk of bread, a tiny bit of ham, and then maybe a couple of slices of tomato. What you actually want, you want to flip that script, add in tons more tomato and veg, maybe add in a good chunk of ham or cooked chicken or salmon, and then maybe just have a single slice of bread at the side and just flip that round in terms of priorities. And so when it comes to protein, a lot of the time we base our meals on things like porridge for breakfast, sandwiches for lunch, and maybe pasta for dinner. And all of those meals, the foundation of them is carbohydrate. Carbohydrate just becomes glucose in our blood. And actually, most of the time, most of the women I work with are eating loads of carbohydrate and not actually enough of protein. So a lot of the recommendations for protein, there's varying debate on it, but they want you to be having something like 0.6 to 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight. And so for most women, that can be anything around 60 to 80 grams of protein a day. And just as a, you know, recommended amount, and most women aren't hitting that because a lot of our meals are based around carbohydrate. Now, the added benefit of protein is also going to fill you up for longer. Protein is also what's needed to help you create things like serotonin, which is like our nice happy hormones, and therefore melatonin, because melatonin gets produced from serotonin. It's also going to help you with your skin. It's going to help with detoxing processes, all of these good things. So that's why we want to eat more protein. And the sources of protein are things like a lot of the time fat and proteins overlap. So fish, great source of protein, wild fish. If you like fish, then make sure you're eating that a couple of times a week, as long as it's wild and good quality so that you're not getting any heavy metals in there or any toxicity. And you've got things like meats. If you eat meat, making sure you're eating really as high a quality meat as you can afford. So for me, that means I use organic and grass-fed meats wherever possible. That's a great source of protein. Then there's also things like eggs or things like lentils or certain pulses. Now, pulses aren't the best source of protein, as there's a lot of carbohydrate and starch in them, but you can still get some protein from that. But eggs are a great source. Certain dairy products, things like Greek yogurt and milk, if you can tolerate milk, can all be really good sources of protein. I also like to use a couple of protein powders just for ease and convenience. But I'm really, really picky about what protein powders that I use. So the only protein powder that I tend to use is collagen powder. It's an animal derived collagen powder, and I recommend to my clients and members, if they want a vegetarian version, that things like hemp protein powder is probably the best. Now, with all of these protein powders, you literally want no other ingredients. I like my protein powders to have one ingredient only, because you've got to be really careful. If you can tolerate dairy, organic whey protein can also be quite helpful. And whilst you don't want to depend solely on powders, they can be really helpful to add to smoothies, and they do just make things a little bit quicker and convenient, but you need to be really fussy about which ones you have. And if you want to know more, I have a little recommendation shop on my site of all the things that I link to, all the things that I buy from Amazon and use. And so you can find out what I recommend there. So that's protein. Okay, the next things are veggies. Now, I don't want to talk too much about veggies, because I feel like if I were to do that, I might be insulting your intelligence, because I assume you know that eating veggies is good for you. Now, so what I thought I might do is just hit on a couple of the sort of troubleshoot a couple of things when it comes to vegetables. So some people are like, I don't like veggies. Well, my response to that is, you don't have to eat every single type of veggie, but most of the time it's about adjusting your palate. And if your palate is kind of numbed by all the sugary processed foods that you're eating, chances are vegetables aren't going to taste that great. So processed sugary foods do sort of distort your palate, so it can take a period of adjusting. And ways to overcome that is, first of all, to ditch the junk where you can and focus on eating more of these healthy foods that are going to keep you fuller for longer, but also just to go slow and try different types of food. And it's one of those things as well, you know, it's probably just a mindset shift as well. Often we tell ourselves, I don't like vegetables, but actually really, probably we just maybe need to grow a pair and get over it. And change our mindset. Stop telling ourselves we hate vegetables. Start telling yourself you love vegetables. I did not like vegetables growing up. Wasn't a huge fan of them. I would cry at the table eating broccoli. You know, one of those kids. And I'm not talking about like being a 6-year-old. I'm like, you know, well into teenage years. Still as an early adult, wasn't that bothered about vegetables. But now I totally love them. And my body genuinely craves them. So your body does adjust. And actually, once you start, and I know from clients, they often don't, like if they go on holiday and don't get enough vegetables, they genuinely miss eating vegetables. So there is a transition period, but as also make sure you keep mindful about what are you saying and thinking about that. And ultimately, there's no way around it when it comes to vegetables. They are good for you and we need to eat them. And so it's really figuring out what are the ones you like. How do you like to cook them? A lot of the time people like boil vegetables to death. So try roasting, sauteing, steaming, mashing, all of these things. You know, often it's how we cook vegetables that, you know, if you've grown up eating like soggy, limp, boiled broccoli, then, I mean, of course you're not going to like broccoli because that's gross. But when you maybe prepare it and roast it with a little bit of olive oil and salt and balsamic, just so it's nice and crispy, I mean, whole different ball game. Totally different ball game going on. So veggies are really, really important because they provide us with fiber, they provide us with nutrients, vitamins, minerals, all of these kinds of things. And they are the best sources of them. And it's really, really helpful that we have and eat good amounts. The whole 5 a day thing is a minimum requirement. And so a lot of the time people might eat like 2 portions of veg and eat the rest as fruit, whereas I recommend eating at least a minimum of 5 portions of vegetables a day, not including any fruit. And ideally you want to really be hitting like 7 or 9. Just putting it out there. Just putting it out there in terms of what's actually going to do your body good. But to begin with, just focus on increasing that. And for me, that often just looks like each, say with lunch and dinner, you want to be having 2 to 3 portions of vegetables with each meal. So today as an example, I had like this vegetable hash thing at lunch. So I had loads of veg left over in the fridge. And so it had some chard in, some leftover baked potato, some mushrooms, some aubergine, some butternut squash that I grated up, probably a couple of other things that I'm forgetting that I just sauteed in coconut oil with some sea salt. And then I broke some eggs into that. And so that was probably maybe 2, maybe 3 portions of vegetables. And then tonight, my main meals in the evenings will always have 2 portions of vegetables as a minimum added on. So maybe something like roasted butternut squash and then some steamed broccoli, or maybe a homemade coleslaw and maybe some roasted veg, you know, those kinds of things. And then fiber is really, really important. The reason we want that is to really, A, help get your bowels going, help with detoxification, support your gut health, support your bacterial ecosystem. And this is a really easy one to add in. So for me, I tend to, if you're eating more vegetables, then you're automatically getting more fiber, which is awesome. And sources of fiber are things like, or the sources that I recommend people to focus on are seeds and things like linseeds and chia seeds. So like whole grain bread and brown rice and oats are all sources of fiber. I actually want you to focus on, not necessarily focus on eating loads of whole grain bread, because that also comes with a lot of carbohydrate, but focus on sources of fiber that also contain bits of fat and bits of protein in. And chia seeds and linseeds are great ways of doing that, as are vegetables. So for me, that just means I try and have like a tablespoon of chia seeds into my day, or some linseeds along with some extra veggies. So for example, like I mentioned this morning, I had porridge, and the oats themselves are going to have fiber in, but then I added some extra chia seeds just to add not only fiber, but some omega-3 fatty acids. I just added them at the end, shoved them in, stirred them up, and ate that porridge up. So fiber is a really, really helpful one to include, and you want to focus on vegetable sources of fiber, as well as things like linseeds, chia seeds, you could have sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, all of those, and nuts are even have some fiber in there as well, but your seeds are probably your best versions of that for now. And then obviously you're probably going to be eating things like rice or oats or whatever, and so that those are also great sources, but put the focus on your veggies and seeds. And so those are the fabulous fat burning 4. So in terms of taking action, there's 4 things that I've mentioned. So think about, what is the one food, either fat, protein, veggies, or fiber, that you think you could do with eating more of? And over the next week or 2 weeks, just think about how you can add an extra portion of, say, protein into your day. Or how can you add an extra portion of fiber or veggies into your day? Start small. You don't need to build Rome in a day here. Just think about, how can I add a little bit extra in? So with me recently, I was finding that I was definitely eating more carbohydrates, probably less protein than I was before, with being pregnant and being quite nauseous, and I'd kind of gone off meat in pregnancy and blah, blah, blah. So my action was, recently I bought some collagen powder, and I make sure I have 1 to 2 scoops of that a day so that I can increase my protein intake by roughly 12 grams. And I also make sure I have eggs pretty much every day, because they're a great food to have in pregnancy. So between those 2 things, even if I'm not eating loads of meat or anything like that, I know that I'm getting probably at least 30 grams of protein in there, and then probably a little bit extra with eating fish or that kind of thing. So start small, start by adding 1 thing into your day. And the added benefit of all these foods, I really should have said this earlier, is that they help you feel fuller for longer. You don't get as hungry, you're not starving, you're not getting hangry. These foods, eating more of these foods at every meal, is going to help you to stay fuller for longer and therefore more energized. So it's win-win, guys. All over win-win. So that is the fabulous fat burning 4. If you want to know more, or you just want to hang out with me for a live training workshop, and we can hang out in person, make sure you join the Belly Love workshop happening soon, which you can sign up to at supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/Belly Love. Otherwise, I'm going to see you next week for another Gut Goddess Show episode. Bye.